The University of Utah announces changes to their admission policy. The Utah Division of Air Quality cracks down on wood-burning stoves. And the state officially certifies all election results. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Tuesday, November 27th. I'm Brian Grimmett. The Utah Division of Air Quality is adopting a new rule and amending a current rule for increased restrictions on wood-burning stoves. The areas of enforcement are also being expanded. KUER's Bob Nelson reports.
Beginning in January, all counties now under strict particulate matter or PM2.5 rules will also be subject to PM10 rules restricting wood burning. Division Director Bryce Bird says even though the state has been in compliance for solid fuel burning standards since 1988, these changes need to be part of the state implementation plan.
This new wood burning control program, or solid fuel burning control program, is extended to the non-attainment areas of Twilla County, of Box Elder County, and to Cache County.
Bird says the red alert point for PM2.5 has also been reduced from 35 to 25 micrograms per cubic meter. The DAQ will also be adopting the six-color air quality index used by the Federal Environmental Protection Agency. Bird says it's an effort by the Utah Department of Environmental Quality to be more proactive and protective. Bob Nelson, KUER News.
Officials with the University of Utah announced changes to the school's admission policy yesterday that allows accepted students to put off starting classes at the U. KUER's Brianna Zunder reports.
If current or future students of the University of Utah need to take time away from school, they will now be able to for up to 3.5 years, or 7 consecutive semesters, without losing their student status. The new policy is meant for students who need to take a break from their education for reasons such as illness, military, or religious obligations. The school will evaluate and grant deferment to students on a case-by-case basis. The new policies will take effect fall semester of 2013. Brianna Zender, KUER News.
Members of the Utah Board of Canvassers met at the state capitol yesterday to certify the results of the 2012 general election. Austin Johnson is the state auditor and member of Canvassing Board. He says the process is thorough and now complete.
We verify the individual county counts that were done last week by the county clerks in their canvassing. So it's really a matter that we look at it and then meet as a board of canvassers, which includes the lieutenant governor, state auditor, state treasurer, and attorney general to certify that those election results are accurate based on the review that my office does on those numbers.
The race with the highest profile was likely the 4th Congressional District contest between Democratic Congressman Jim Matheson and Republican Mayor Mia Love. Matheson was certified the winner with a margin of only 768 votes. The Utah Republican Party still has 40 days to decide whether or not to contest that race.
Two Utah school districts are finalists for millions of dollars in Race to the Top federal education grants. The U.S. Department of Education says the Salt Lake City and Ogden districts are among 61 finalists for a program that will provide 4-year grants ranging from $5 million to $40 million. The Education Department says it expects to name 15 to 25 district winners before the end of the year. Utah's largest single district, Granite, applied but is not listed as a finalist. A federal judge will hear arguments this Friday on a request to move a civil rights lawsuit against two polygamous towns out of Arizona. The lawsuit filed by the U.S. Department of Justice in June claims that officials in Hilldale, Utah, and Colorado City have supported a campaign of intimidation against former members of the fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and denied them services. The defendants had asked a judge to move the case to Utah to cut down on travel time and expenses for the parties and witnesses. Attorneys representing hundreds of thousands of American Indians say they should start seeing the first payments of a $3.4 billion settlement with the U.S. government by year's end. The settlement between Native Americans across the nation and the government over more than a century's worth of squandered and mismanaged land trust royalties has been finalized. The lawsuit was started by Eloise Cobell of Browning, Montana, in 1996 after the woman from the Blackfoot tribe saw no accounting of the money held in trust by the government. And finally, in the new William Kuhn novel, Mrs. Queen Takes the Train, Elizabeth the Queen is on a walk to visit her favorite horse. But in a twist of fate, she finds a new friend. From the King's English Bookstore, Betsy Burton has this review.
The Queen of England is in a royal funk, although she'd never say so, or for that matter, seek help. She gives herself stern talkings to and tries yoga poses in the hopes they'll bring her peace of mind. But she just can't seem to get herself out of her slump. For one thing, she's sick to death of all the heartache she's gone through with her children and their disastrous marriages. What exactly is wrong with a stiff upper lip? Why should she have had to suffer so many slings and arrows in the press for the stoicism she considers admirable? The Queen is equally weary of all the public appearances people assume she loves. Indeed, she's so tired of dressing up for them that she hardly notices what her dresser surely slips over her shoulders or onto her feet. Elizabeth would far rather be clad in her favorite woolen jumper, clumping through fields with her beloved corgis, than hobnobbing with courtiers and heads of state. She does get out of the palace on her own occasionally, but there are always people hovering, distinctly annoying. She can't help thinking about the royal yacht Britannia, home to some of her fondest memories. Why had life been so different then? Had she really been so much happier? One day, Elizabeth takes a stroll, intending to visit her favorite horse, named aptly Elizabeth, to feed her cheddar cheese. By a curious twist of fate, Elizabeth, the queen, not the horse, ends up in the street by herself, an unprecedented occurrence. She decides to buy more cheese for her horse and so acquires a friend, the young man who runs the cheese shop. By happenstance, she'd forgotten her coat and borrowed a hoodie in the barn to stave off the chill. So, with a perfect disguise and a loyal companion, our heroine begins a memorable journey, which occasions memorable dithering and hand-wringing in the castle, where Shirley the dresser, William the butler, and Luke the equerry fret, too worried about the Queen's reputation to call the police. In fiction, journeys are often revelations, and this novel is no exception. Revelations do occur for the Queen, for her frantic staff, and for the reader. Mrs. Queen Takes the Train is a joyride of the first order.
And that is your KUER News Pod for Tuesday, November 27th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, be sure to check us out online at KUER.org. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.